The purpose for our gathering today is to know Him and to worship Him. In Isaiah it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as heaven higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." How can we come to know Him unless God revealed Himself to us? So 2 months ago, I shared with you all about the eternal purpose of God, the will of God, from the book of Genesis. But today I'm going to talk about the work of God. So Genesis, we learn the will of God. Today we are going to learn the work of God in the book of Exodus. But before we have a quick look at Exodus, let us review. Let us think about what is the God's plan. So from the last time when we talk about the will of God, how can we know what is God, what is in His heart? What is the plan of God? If we look at the Bible, the first few chapters, first one or two chapters, it begins in the Garden of Eden. And then something happened. Adam failed. And then history continued. So that's why we have the Bible. And now the Bible is not only recording the work of God. If we jump to or fast forward to the book of Revelation, the last book, into the second last chapter, we can see there's a new city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven. And God said, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." So the will of God last time, from the book of Genesis, and we jump to the book of Revelation, we know throughout the history of mankind, God step by step by step, working towards that end, working towards that purpose. The tabernacle of God is with men. God wants to be with men. And we have a quick look of 8 men in the book of Genesis. So what kind of men God wants to be with? What sort of character with this man? So we have a quick look of the 8 men. The first man is Adam. What's the lesson we can learn from Adam? Adam, God gave him the free will. He could choose to do God's will by choosing which tree he's going to have. From choosing God, we can see that he can show his love towards God. He can show his fear to God. He can show how he honored God. But of course, Adam failed. But the lesson from Adam, we know God wants man, God wants you and me to love him, choose him, honor him, and fear him. The second man we learn is Abel. Abel, to his brother, offered sacrifices from the hard labor from the land. So Cain's sacrifice speaks of man's hard labor, man's effort to please God. But Abel, not me. Not I can do anything to please God. When I come before God, I need the sacrifice of the lamb. So he relied on the lamb. So in other words, today's term, in Christian's term, not I, not my hard work, but Christ. But the sacrifice of Christ that I can come before God. So the third person, Enoch, it talks about him, how he walked with God. But in New Testament, this term walking with God doesn't appear many, many times. But Jesus said to his disciples, "Follow me." So again, it's about a relationship. What is your relationship with Christ? Not how good you are, what you have done, what you can achieve, but your relationship with Christ. The fourth person, Noah, built an ark, and he abided in the ark. So in the New Testament term, in Gospel of John chapter 15, Jesus said, "Abide in me, so that we can bear fruit." So we jump to another one, Abraham. The fifth person, Abraham, when the Bible mentioned him, when we read the story about Abraham, we can pick up some very important issue. The Bible called, in the book of Romans, we can see that Abraham was justified by his faith. He pleased God because I can't get my own son. I have to wait on God. Only God can fulfill. So he put his faith in God, justified by faith. And when he was justified by faith, what did God give him? The promised son, which is Christ himself. So today, come back to us. When we are justified by faith, what would God give you? The promised son. We accepted Christ, isn't it? So God gave Abraham Isaac, God gave us Christ. And on not only receiving Christ, but remember in chapter 22, God asked, put your son on the altar, offering to me. So our lives, as the same, we have to offer Christ in our life. How do we offer Christ in our life? We live out Christ. His joy, his love, his peace. So when God sees us, he can see Christ in our life, then we are offering Christ himself. Now Isaac, regarding to Isaac, we can see his submission to his father, willing to go to the altar, how he got his wife, we can see his submission. But more than that, we can see his enjoy the father's blessing. So remember in the book of Ephesus, in the chapter 1, Paul prayed for the saints in the Ephesus that they know the richness of God's blessing. Paul prayed for them to the Holy Spirit to open their eyes so they can see the richness, the power, and the hope that is in Christ. So do we realize the richness of the sonship? Are we really enjoying the sonship in Christ? In Jacob, we can see his life full of discipline of the Holy Spirit. But God step by step changed this man into his likeness. So we can see God is doing a lot of work in Jacob. Similarly today, God is doing work in us. God wants to change us to be more Christ-like. The last one, Joseph, he has gone through a lot of trial. But through the trial, he came to the throne. Similar thing. So even God gave us the life of Christ, but he will let us to go through all kinds of difficulties in our life. He wants us to reign, to overcome, and to reign with him on the throne. So in eternity, we have to pass all this. Remember if you are doing high school, say when I was doing high school in Hong Kong, when I finished the high school, when I graduated from high school, I need to get my English, I need mathematics, I need Chinese, I have to do all these subjects passed in order to be graduated. So in eternity, men have to learn all this. Go back to where we were, can we? Men have to learn how to choose God. Men have to learn to know, rely on Christ, walk with him, abide in him, accept Christ, living out Christ, enjoy Father's blessing, change into his likeness. Through him we can reign with Christ. These are the lessons we have to learn. In eternity we can sit with Christ. We are graduated from the life on earth. We have learned all these spiritual lessons. So one day we can be with him. God is with men. So this man should learn all this. Now we have quickly come to the work of God doesn't stop at Genesis, it proceeds to Exodus. Today, my burden is to share about Exodus. Remember, God's work started at Eden, and Adam failed. Adam's descendants left the Garden of Eden, and God started to call Abraham from Ur of Chaldean, which is in Babylon. And from there, God started to step by step, if you think of a train or something, starting from Eden, second station, Ur. Next station, God is bringing them. Now, from Abraham, God built up a family, the Israelites. And then this family moved to, at the end of Genesis, they moved to Egypt. So the next station we are focusing now is in Egypt. Now, the book of Exodus, talking about how they are leaving Egypt, so they're going to the next station. So in the end, the final station, the terminal is the New Jerusalem. So step by step, God are leading his people. Now today we are focusing on leaving Egypt, the Exodus. When we think of the work of God, which aspect where we are thinking? We are thinking about the redemption of his people, the redemption work of God, how he called his people from Exodus. Now, when we talk about Exodus, normally I think most of us just find it really interesting to look at the 10 plagues, how the story of Moses, the 10 plagues that came upon to Egypt, and even the Red Sea, the water divided, how the people walked through the Red Sea. And that's it. This is the highlight in the book of Exodus. And after that, from chapter 1 to chapter 14, talks about how the people in Egypt and how they leave Egypt. But after that, from chapter 15 to chapter 40, it seems a bit blank in our hearts, or in our minds. When we think of the book of Exodus, we only think about the plagues, the miracles, but what about the rest? These are important. So today we are going to have not just focusing on the plagues, but we are focusing on what happened next. Because God is not just happy for them to leave Egypt and stop there. God's work has to continue towards New Jerusalem. So in what happens in chapter 15 to 24 is their work, is their walk, and they are walking to one place. Where are they going? They are not, when they left Egypt, they don't go straight to the promised land. They have to go to Mount Sinai. And at Sinai, God gave them the law. So God purposely not go straight to, when they come out from Egypt, they don't go straight into the promised land. They travel to Sinai first. God gave them something very important, the law. And after they got the law, they do something before they start their journey to the next station or the next step. Okay? And what happens in chapter 25 to 42? God gave them instruction, detailed instruction regarding building the tabernacle. Okay? So there are three main things like we can see in the book of Exodus. So not just focusing on the first 14 chapters, but thinking about also the rest. But each section can really be related to us. I know a friend who started to read the Bible. He always thinks, how come the Bible with so many little stories? How did all these little stories relate to us? So hopefully we can see all these little stories. It's a foreshadow of what God is going to do. So let's continue. Let's focusing on the first portion, leaving Egypt. In the first 14 chapters, leaving Egypt. Now, there are a few things we can pay attention. First of all, the first two or three chapters talk about Moses, how he was born, how God saved him, how he felt about himself. So we need, there was a redeemer. If there's no redeemer, as if God did not suddenly bring these people out of Egypt. God wait for a redeemer. This redeemer in Old Testament, of course, points to Moses. But in New Testament, in our hearts, oh, I know our redeemer must be referred to Christ himself. So there are quite a lot of similarities between Moses and our Lord Jesus, but I'll leave that to you think about this. But Moses, he was born in the palace, but he would refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he would rather to suffer affliction with God's people. So this point regarding to look at Jesus, very similar. Jesus was not happy in staying in heaven. For us, in order to redeem us, he was willing to become man, to come down, became flesh to dwell among men. So there must be a redeemer. For God to do his work, for us to leave Egypt, there must be a Redeemer. And the second thing, when we look at the 14 chapters, we can look about the condition of the people. The condition of the people, at that time, we can see that they have no freedom. Pharaoh forced them to do a lot of hard work. They are in suffering. They have no hopes. Today, just like we are sinners in the world, we are serving this world, serving all our evil desires in this world. So we are very much alike the people at that time. So we are seeing the Old Testament story, but we are in the New Testament. This is a foreshadow telling about us as well. The third point we can focus on, when we read that these chapters, we can look about at Pharaoh. He was the king of the world at that time. We can see how cruel he is. We can see his pride. We can see how he hardened his heart towards God's people. And no, of course, in New Testament, we know that Pharaoh refers to the king of this world, which is Satan. So we can see ourselves, how we are delivered. When we are sinners, we are serving Satan. God, we need a Redeemer, Jesus, to deliver us from the power of Satan. And in through the 10 plagues, or the first 9 plagues, we can see the power of God. There are all these plagues, confront the idols in Egypt at that time. So the frogs, Egyptians have frogs as their idol, as their gods. So God can punish them. We can see the power of God can deliver, overcome all the power of this, the Satan, or his evil, all these evil forces. Now the most important thing for them to leave Egypt, what would that be? It's the Passover lamb, the 10 plagues, the last one, the dying of the lamb. When there's no blood, there we can't be freed. We are just like the Egyptians. We live like the Egyptians. We like the people of this world. The world can't let us go. Yes, God has power, but God is also a righteous God. How can he set us free? So we need only not to be delivered from the power of Satan, but we also need to be delivered from the judgment, from God's righteous judgment. And that's why we need the blood of the Lamb. So God just can't take us out because we have sinned. We are not qualified to follow him. God has to do something. That must satisfy his righteousness by the blood of the Lamb. So God's righteousness has to be satisfied in order for us to leave Egypt. So it's not a simple thing that we can say we can leave the power of Egypt. No, it's not a simple thing. It's only by the blood of the Lamb. So after leaving Egypt, what happened next? So they are supposed to move forward towards the promised land. So in the Exodus chapter 19, 4-6, you yourself have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle wings and brought you to myself. To myself, not just to the promised land. To the promised land speaks of the richness of God himself. So God delivered us, not just out of trouble, not just out of pain, not just out of sin, but to him. Brothers and sisters, do you know that God delivered you to him? Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, so there comes the laws. Are we fit? Are we really willing to accept him as our Lord? See, how do we obey his voice, his words? And keep his commandment. You shall be my treasured possession. God belongs to us. Hold on, it's here. We belong to him. Treasured possessions. Do you know that we are treasured possessions? God created us. We are his creation. We belong to him. But now he said, these are my treasured possession. Why are we treasured? Because he bought us with the blood of the Lamb. You are precious. We are precious in His sight. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. So God told them plainly what is in His heart. You belong to me. I brought you to myself. Wonderful salvation. This is redemption. This is the work of God. Why did God want us to leave Egypt? To Him. So we belong to Him our whole life. Okay, let's move to the second session. Receiving the law. The law can be divided into three aspects. Commandments, statutes, and judgments. Commandments always refer to the Ten Commandments. The statutes refer to how people make their offering sacrifices, what are the rules. So statutes regarding to the man-God relationship. When you come before God, what does God require you? So statutes refer to Leviticus or the how man should prepare their sacrifice to come to do offerings before God. And how about the judgments? Judgments regarding to the social laws, how you treat your neighbors, how you treat another man-to-man relationship. So God's, if we want to testify Him as a kingdom, how do we testify Him? So God, His words tell us the standards. What's God's standards? How do we represent God in this world? So God gave us the law. The law is not just you have to do this or you die. No, the purpose is not that. The law is telling us more about God Himself. His requirement speaks of God Himself. In another way, when we come before God, we want to dwell with Him. What is God like? We don't know about God. Oh, God is love. Now we know. God is a holy God. God is just. God is merciful. So, laws tells us more about Himself, so we can know. It's not for us to do, but knowing Him and love Him. But so the essence of the law is, people came to ask Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And of course, we remember it's about love, isn't it? So if we look at Matthew 22, 36 to 39, can we have the... Yes. Someone came before the Lord and asked the Lord, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? 10 commandments, which one? And He said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So love the Lord, love your neighbor. It's all about love. So the law is telling us about God Himself, the essence of it. If you love God, you won't worship idol at all. You won't dishonor His name. If you love your fellow man, you won't steal, you won't kill, you won't commit adultery. If you have such love in your heart, keeping the law is easy. You don't give a law to the mother. You must love your children. You don't have to write that out because the love is there already. So there's no law for a mother. Love your children. No, unnecessary, because love is always already there. But when there's a law there, love your neighbor as yourself. It speaks of something. We are not like that. So the law exposed our true condition. Just like a thermometer tells you what's your degree. You are having a fever. So don't blame that thermometer. Don't blame the law. The law is good, telling us we should love God. We should love our neighbor. But the law exposed our true self. So the law exposed what happens to mankind, the purpose, our true condition. What is the law, the purpose of the law? Can we see the next purpose, the next point? The purpose in Romans 3:20, for the works of the law, no human being will be justified. Because with the law, we realize that, oh, I failed. I can't fulfill the law in his sight. Since through the law comes knowledge of sin, then we know, oh, I have sinned. I have the heart of stealing. I have the heart of hurting someone. Then I know I am a sinner. So the law exposed that we are sinners. So the Lord brought them to Mount Sinai, gave them the law, is to let the Israelites realize they are sinners and prepare them. One day they will come to the Lord. Lord, no, even though I can offer the sacrifice of lamb or the bull, but they can't take away myself. The problem is not my doing, it's myself. I keep on sinning. The problem is about me. I am a sinner. Deliver me. Redemption, come to me, please. Deliver me. So redemption comes. In Galatians it says, but the scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. Verse 24, the law was our guardian. Some other versions say our tutor, leading us, teaching us. So the law has a purpose, teaching us something. You should do this, you can't. You should do this, you can't. Ah, that means something. You are a sinner. So what's the outcome? Go to Christ. Until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. So the law is pointing to us. You have a problem. You have a problem. You are sick. You need the antidote. You need the medicine. And point us to Christ is what you need. So this is the purpose of the law. Not for the man to keep. Man knowing how holy God is, then realize he's a sinner, and that will prepare man to come to receive Christ himself. Now, after God gave them the law, they are so filled with confidence. We can keep it. Yes, we'll do it. Well, it takes them many years to learn the lesson. Let's go to the next point, building the tabernacle. Well, if you are the first time reading the book of Exodus, when you come to chapter 25 onwards, you may be having a really hard time. While all this length, measurement, different materials, what does it mean? Simple speaking, the tabernacle speaks of God's dwelling place. When not just giving them the law, God doesn't want just a holy man, no sin. God wants a tabernacle so that he can be with men. Remember, as I said in the early stage, the will of God, God's tabernacle to be with men. God wants to dwell among men. God doesn't want just a holy person. He wants these people gathered together so that he can dwell among them. So this tabernacle speaks of something. Can we have the next verse? And let them make me a sanctuary, the tabernacle, that I may dwell in their midst. So God gave them the law. Now notice, they went to Mount Sinai. God gave them the law. Doesn't mean that they have the law, then they can go straight to the promised land. They need something. What do they need? They spend some time there to build the tabernacle so that only God can bring them into the promised land. Giving you the law, you can't go to the promised land. Without God's help, you can't go to the promised land. If God just gave you the law, I can keep it, that's it. No, you won't enjoy all the blessing in the promised land. There must be the presence of God. God must be dwelling in you. We must receive the Holy Spirit in order to do God's work. If we just read the Bible without Holy Spirit in us, how can we keep God's word? So, once you're saved, you need God's word to guide you. But not just the words can help you, the presence of God, the tabernacle, God's tabernacle with men. Only that can bring us step by step into the promised land. So what does the tabernacle speaks about? So quickly, I go through some important point about the tabernacle. First of all, we notice there's only one gate or one door. Remember, Jesus said, I am the door. And in another way, in another place, the Lord said, I'm the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. So there's only one way for people to come to before God. Now, this is a foreshadow for what is to come. So God is educating his people. When you come to me, there's only one way. When you come to me, there's one door through Jesus, in simple words. Okay, the next step, when after they pass the gate, they come to the altar. Once we come to the altar is for sacrifice. Altar reminds us God's righteousness. Altars remind us sin is there. If we have to dealt with it. So if your sin is not dealt with, how can you come before the Lord? The Lord won't speak to you if there are sins between you and God. You have to dealt with it. But not by you, but by the blood of the Lamb. So God is using all this material, all this arrangement to tell them spiritual lessons, prepare them to accept Christ. So if you read the Gospel of John, Jesus says, God's tabernacle among men, is God's, in chapter 1 it says, God's, the word became flesh, tabernacled among men, tabernacle. Then Jesus talked about, I'm the way, I'm the door. Now, the altar speaks of God's righteousness. Sin has to be dealt with. So God is a holy God. So God is teaching the people. Today we have to know this as well. Now, after the sin has been dealt with, they proceed into another stage, the basin or the laver. There are water in there to clean your hand and your feet before you proceed. So not just about sin, but the filth from this earth. So you may want to serve God out of your passion, out of all the good wills, all the good thinking. You want to serve God by your own ways. No, not your ways. We have to learn to be cleansed by God's word. Remember, David, he asked, he used the oxen to pull the cart with the ark on top. But in the book of Samuel, God didn't want this way. It's not your way of carrying the ark of God. Okay? It must be according to God's way. So serving God is God's way, not our way. We have to be cleansed. And if we go further, sometimes Christians will just come before the Lord. Lord, I have sinned. Cleanse me. Once you feel you have cleansed, and then you leave. Next week, see you next week, and that's it. But God is in there. Come closer. Come into the holy place. So if you proceed forward, only, of course, the priest can do that. When you come forward, come to the bread and the table of bread, show bread, and the golden lampstand. The golden lampstand speaks of the light. Remember Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. I'm the bread of life. So this is a picture as we come before the Lord, we can see light. And at the same time, we will be fed. I'm the bread of the world. For example, if you take Psalm verse 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Suddenly you realize, my whole life, the Lord is leading me. I have been through all this thing. The Lord is my shepherd. You see a light there. And then you feel, oh, thank God. No wonder I've been through all these difficulties. God give you the strength. In some way, God is sustaining you, encouraging you. So you feel the word of God comes and sustains you. So if you don't read Bibles, I wonder how can you be a healthy Christian? No way. You have to come before the Lord, receive his light, and receive his provision. But don't stop there. There's something missing there. There should be an altar of incense. So the altar of incense always speaks of prayer. I choose the wrong, not a very good map. There should be an altar of incense. Just before you entered into the most holy place, there's an altar of incense. It speaks of prayer. So when you receive the light, when you receive God's word, don't stop there. Pray to God. And it should be an incense. It should be a fragrance to God. Prayer should be, God should be enjoying our prayer. Let me put it this way. When you see, oh, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, I feel rich. I feel strength. And then you leave. No. Come a step closer. You pray to God. Lord, thank you. I realize that you are taking care of me my whole life. I know that you are continuing to lead me. Thank you, Lord. Let me put my trust in you. You are most worthy. You are beautiful. I thank you so much. Now, this is a prayer. So don't just receive some understanding. Don't just receive some knowledge. And then you withdraw. No. Come another step closer to God. So when you read the Bible, don't just find some lights, enlightenment, all good, and then you leave. Go a step further. Pray to God. Now, not all prayer is fragrant to God. If you pray to God, oh Lord, give me this, give me that, give me this, for me, for me, for me, all about you, it's not fragrant. It's stinky. It's all about you. No. Remember when Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but your will. So that prayer honoring God, God is the center of everything. This is the fragrance. This is the prayer God is after. So don't just come before the Lord, enjoy His provision, and stop and withdraw. No, come to Him closer, closer, closer. So that's when we dwell, God dwells among men. God wants to provide us. And He wants to draw us closer to Him. To admire Him, adore Him, His beauty, love Him. Go another step further to the ark, where we come boldly and obtain mercy and find grace and help in times of need. That was in the book of Hebrews. So God really wants us to draw us closer, closer to Him. Yes, dealt with your sin. Yes, not with your way. Come to worship me according to me. As you come closer, God will provide you. He's so rich. He loves us. He wants to provide for us. So that is the heart of God. And we can find mercy. The more you come to Him, the more you love Him. Brothers and sisters, do you read your Bible every day? Do you come before the Lord through His words to worship Him, closer to Him, giving yourself to Him, love Him, not just getting some knowledge? This is the reality that we need. So God is happy about having a tabernacle among men. So we see the next Bible verse in Exodus. In the last chapter, then the cloud, once the Israelites built the tabernacle, then once the cloud covered the tent of meeting and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Remember, Adam left Eden. God was away from man, far away from man. But now, at the end of the book of Genesis, we see a coffin. But at the end of the book of Exodus, we see a tabernacle. See, God is making step by step closer, closer to His purpose. God wants God's tabernacle to be with men, but now Israel built a small thing, tabernacle. This is a foreshadow of what is to come. So we can see the excitement, the joy that is in God's heart. So let's come to the conclusion. The redemptive work of God. Okay? So redemption is not about just leaving Egypt. Not more than that. Redemption is about giving us His words. His words can transform us. So if you just, oh, my sin is forgiven and that's it. No. Redemption is more than that. come before the Lord and let the Word of God transform your whole life to be more like Him. This is the work of transformation. We need that. And more than that, not just one transformed human being, but many can come together to become the body of Christ, the tabernacle. So let's look at, we've mentioned about the three points, leaving Egypt. So in Old Testament, it was for the Israelites to leave Egypt. But in New Testament, for us, what does it mean? It's a picture of us as well. For us to leave the power of this world, the power of Satan, to leave the flesh, the work of flesh in our life, to put off the old man. So God's deliverance is all about taking away the negative. Remember in somewhere it says, we are called out of darkness into the light. We are called out of death into life. So we are called out of Egypt, put off the old man. And point two, the negative is gone, receiving the law, receiving God's word, transforming by God's words daily. So don't stop just being saved and happy. We need God's word. This is the most important point, the highlights of each day, to meet God and let God transform us into His likeness by God's words. So we can put on the new man to be more Christ-like. And not just many individual, holy people. No, God wants not many people, but one tabernacle. Building the tabernacle speaks of building the body of Christ. So in New Testament, God wants to dwell among men. How is your relationship with brothers and sisters? Do you care about them? Do you love them? Do you show mercy? Let God's mercy flow out in our life and help and love and build one another up in Christ. So this is the redemptive work of God. Not just out of Egypt, not just out of sin, but transform to be like Him. And let God dwell among us. Let God build His tabernacle among us. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank You. You are a great God. Not just delivering us from sin or the power of evil, but You want to transform us. You deliver us to be Your own, to be Your treasured possession, so that You can dwell among men. You can live among us. Lord, pray that we know Your heart, so that we are not just happy to be saved, but we are willing to be transformed by Your words and come together, meet together, helping one another to live out the body of Christ, so that You can find satisfaction and joy among men. Lord, we long for Your presence to be with us. We long that You continue to do Your work in our life. We commit everyone into Your own hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let us sing 227, There is a Redeemer. We need God's redemption, not just from sin, but into His will. We need His work continue in our lives.